Hi, everyone. Welcome to Moco's Most Famous. I'm Joe Yashroff. Haven't done one of these in a couple of weeks, which I know is a no-no in podcast world. I'm still learning, but we're going to make up for that today. We have one of the most recognizable names and faces in all of local TV, former co-worker of mine and one of my favorite people, period, Sue Palka, chief weather forecaster for Fox 5. Sue, welcome to the show. How are you?
Joe, wait a minute. I did not know that the name of this podcast was Moco's Most Famous.
Yes, it is.
You know, I am a humble person. I don't consider myself famous.
Definitely qualify for Moco's Most Famous. Absolutely.
I'm so embarrassed, but
well,
thank you.
You shouldn't be. So how are you doing?
I am doing well, thank you. And I do love my Moco. We moved up here many years ago, as you know, from Richmond, Virginia, September of 1985. Actually, we got here before that. It was April of that year. And the priest at my Catholic church in Richmond said, "You've got to move to Montgomery County."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I'll check it out. I said, I really didn't want to change my Virginia license plates. I thought I'd stay on the other side of the river. He goes, no, go to Montgomery County. And that was some great advice.
You made the wise choice.
I think so.
Because if you stay in Virginia, we don't do, or I don't do, a Virginia's Most Famous.
So
I'm very grateful that you decided to live in Montgomery.
Well, it's been a nice home for us for, you know, coming up on 34 years.
Wow.
Actually, it is probably 34 years because this is April.
Yes.
Holy crap. I can't believe I've been here that long.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So what do you like specifically about Montgomery County?
Even when I travel and come back, I just love how convenient it is. For starters, I don't mind people knowing this, I live in the Kentlands. And I remember when that was being built, and I kept a really close eye on it. And I thought, if this works, this is just going to be so fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So what I love about Montgomery County is when I come home from work, everything I want is close by. I love Strathmore, for example. We have been going to Strathmore so much in the last few months. My older dad, of course he's older, he's 93, but he loves live music. And we started taking him down there. And Joe and I are like, why have we not been coming to Strathmore all these years? We just saw Verdi's Requiem the other night. We saw Roseanne Cash when she was there.
Kristen Chenoweth or no?
I'd love to see her, but okay. I have to work. But you know, it's like 15, 20 minute drive and free parking in and out really fast. What a wonderful venue. So I love that.
This show, brought, by the way, brought to you by Strathmore now.
Is it really?
No, it's not, but now
it
is, because you just did a commercial for them.
I'm blown away by Strathmore. I really just think that is such a gift to the county.
It really is. Thank
you to Doug Duncan, who got that done for us.
That's true.
I love the fact that, you know, I have many wonderful grocery stores right in my neighborhood that I can walk to. Mm-hmm. I love Seneca Creek State Park that I can ride my bike to when I want to and take a kayak out and just have an hour of zen in 10 minutes. I just feel like everything is right here. Good shopping.
Is Seneca the one that has the Christmas, the lights where you drive through it?
Yeah.
That's a fun thing.
Oh, and Joe, just, you know, even go over there, ride your bike.
Mm-hmm.
People are there picnicking, just enjoying life without cell phones. And they have a little boathouse. You can take a canoe. You can take a kayak.
Yeah.
It's just a few dollars. It's so worth it.
And now we have Glenstone, which is an amazing place. I don't know if you've
been
there
yet.
In Potomac.
Wow, okay.
It's an incredible place. You're close to D.C., but not too close.
Right.
And then you're close to the mountains. You're close to, you know, other places.
Yeah.
So it's
the best.
It is.
CNO Canal is another thing I love about Montgomery County. Mm-hmm. We'll go over there and, you know, ride bikes or walk or whatever. So it's just wonderful. I love living here.
So you've really embraced it. This is not just a place to live. It is home.
Right.
Even though you're from Erie, Pennsylvania, right?
I am from Erie, and Erie is a wonderful place also. I love my hometown. I would never, ever bash it, but it's cold. It's just an observation. And it's very, very snowy. This year, they only had about 100 inches of snow.
Oh, my God.
But last year, they had 200.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And
so let's do that feet. That would be 8 or 9 feet?
I need to get my calculator out, but that's a lot. And, you know, it started early when you live on a lake like that, which is beautiful.
Is this the lake effect snow?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's epic. It's like buffalo type snow.
Yeah.
So, but I do love my hometown, but you know what I didn't realize living there?
What's that?
There's a tremendous lack of sunshine from about October to May.
Mm-hmm.
And then the summers are spectacular. But I didn't realize how cloudy it was until we moved away. Joe and I first moved from Erie to Omaha, and I was shocked. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's sunny again today.
This is your husband, Joe.
This is my husband, Joe.
Yes.
Right. Joe Yashroff's my other Joe.
That's right. Exactly. So Erie, Pennsylvania, you moved here. Nice. So you've been on Fox 5 for 33 plus years now, right?
Yes, it'd be 34 in September.
Wow.
Yeah.
So longest running weather person, weather forecaster currently, obviously. Also longest ever.
I'm getting there, and I can't remember exactly how many years Bob Ryan and Doug Hill had.
Mm-hmm.
They would have had similar long careers,
right.
But
I did not
change stations.
That's right. So the
so far anyway.
Are we breaking news today?
No,
hopefully not. So longest in one place, longest female anchor person, not longest, but I think second long. J.C. Hayward was on for 40-some years.
Oh, okay. But, and Andrea Rowan, too, has
Andrea
been on a long
Rowan,
time.
Right. But you're right up there. I mean, that's amazing.
I'm very proud of that. And I'm grateful, too. Believe me, more than anything, I'm grateful because the viewers are the people that keep you there.
Right.
And so I think they trust my forecast, and I really appreciate that. I feel like living in the same area for such a long time has mm-hmm. given me perspective on the climate, which, you know, I think is also changing a little bit. So there's mm-hmm. that to contend with. But I feel good about knowing the patterns in this area.
Yeah.
And that helps. And I can remember a lot of the mm-hmm. various systems, and that helps me.
Your viewers love you. Coworkers, I know, love you. I'm a former coworker, and you're the nicest person I've ever met in television. And not just in television, just period.
Thank you.
So part of what you do is obviously inform. You have to inform people. You have to entertain a little bit, too. You can't be boring and just sit up there and read maps.
Right.
And it's also connecting to the viewers,
yes.
which you kind of touched on. So can you discuss kind of that, how
sure.
important connecting is?
I think that really is the key to longevity in our business. And you've got to be relatable. So when I, you know, go to work today, for example, on this Monday, the 15th, it's a very windy day. Mm-hmm. And I will certainly relate that, you know, my feelings about the wind and what it did in my neighborhood and make sure that I share the experience of life with our viewers. I'll probably have a little fun with Game of Thrones tonight because that's relatable.
And but that was last night, right?
Right, that was
but
last
tonight
night.
You're tonight, on the air, so you're going to have
so
fun tonight.
I'll have a little something to, you know, I'll think about that. But mostly what I try to do is make sure people know that what you're experiencing, I'm experiencing too. And then that bond is created. And I think that happens in certain moments in television. It doesn't have to be with another person. I can make that moment myself in my 2.5 to 3 minutes during the weather. But I think it is crucial. And a lot of that came from my background as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I first started as, which seems like ancient history. But for about 7 years, I was a teacher. And in my spare time, I did a lot of acting, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And I think that those three elements, the science, the ability to tell a story, because weather is a story, and you have kind of a, when I'm putting together my weathercast, I do have a thought in mind about how to proceed with this,
mm-hmm.
because in the end, if you don't understand the weather when I'm done, I've really failed. So I use my teaching background as well as my acting and
that's fascinating.
To try to bring it all together.
That's really interesting. I'm
sorry. Can I also tell you this, Joe? We were worried a few years ago that because of people having the weather app on their phone,
mm-hmm.
That this is going to eliminate us, and it hasn't.
Which
so
is
it's really great, and I think it is because people still want to hear it as a story.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned storytelling. I teach a class at University of Maryland, sports TV broadcasting, and I tell them that whether it's sports or weather or news or anything, it's a story. And that's your job is
right.
to tell a story and to make it as compelling as possible.
Exactly.
So you talked about teaching. So what made you switch from being a teacher to doing what you've been doing for 33 plus years?
You know, it's interesting because I never pursued this.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in a way that has been the key to my success with it. It's a weird thing to describe, but I only wanted to be a teacher. I came from a family of educators. My mom was a teacher. My father was a principal.
Mm-hmm.
All my aunts and uncles were teachers. And from the time I was five, I said, I'm going to teach. And I did go to school for that. I got a job right away. I taught fourth grade as well as seventh grade. And Joe and I, he was in radio, my husband, we moved from Erie to take his job out to Omaha, Nebraska. And I got a job out there, too. I was a substitute teacher for seventh grade, which that's the hardest work I've ever done, let me
mm-hmm.
tell you.
No respect.
They put me through the paces, but the next year, the teacher that I was subbing for decided to retire, and they gave me the job, and I loved it. But in the meantime, opportunities kept dropping in my lap. Because I continued to do some acting along the way, that led to opportunities to do commercials. You know, I didn't even pursue it. I was
mm-hmm.
invited to, would you be interested in trying out for this, trying out for that? So in Omaha, acting led me to do commercials and videos, and I was able to put together a pretty good reel of commercials I had done, including a couple of national commercials.
Wow. For
the Best Product Company. Do you remember that? It was a catalog company.
Best?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Back in the day, I did a couple of commercials for them for gold jewelry and things like that. And they were done in Omaha. Omaha is a center for a lot of calling places.
Like QVC kind of places?
Right, yeah, it was something like that back in the day where you'd call in. For example, I worked at this call center when we first got to Omaha because I didn't have a job yet. And Joe's like, hey, you want to fly back to Erie? You got to make some money here. You can't just be out at the pool organizing cocktail parties. And I'm like, okay, well, I got a job at this call center where people would call in on an 800 number to order Burl Ives Greatest Hits or whatever they were.
Ginsu
knives, absolutely.
Ginsu knives, my gosh.
And so that was fascinating to do that kind of work and to listen to the various accents from across the country. But anyway, that also reminded me that I don't want to do this kind of work all the rest of my life. And so I started pursuing, well, in addition to the teaching, when these opportunities to do some commercials came up, I took them.
Wow.
So we go to Richmond after Omaha, and I have a pretty good reel put together, and we happen to live near a TV station. And Joe said, you ought to take your tape over to WTVR in Richmond. Mm-hmm. And I, because I knew where it was, I dropped off a copy of my commercials and said, I would be interested in doing the weather. Mm-hmm. And how the weather came about was when we had been in Erie, I had been invited to come to a TV station in Erie based on my acting and a couple of commercials I had done there too. And they said, would you be interested in auditioning for weather? And I said, no, I'm not. And they said, well, we'd like you to come in, just see the studio, you know.
Did you know about weather? I mean, were you a weather geek or weather?
Well, I liked weather. I liked earth science.
Okay.
But I didn't. This was not something that even I thought was remotely possible for me. My path was teaching. So this, I should have started with this story because the seed was planted in Erie about weather. And based on a couple of commercials I had done there for a grocery store, as well as my theater work in Erie, which is a somewhat small town, so a lot of people would see these shows, I was invited to come up to WICU, and they were looking for someone to do weekend weather. So I did an audition there. The funny part was I'd never been to a TV studio before. So they said, why don't you come up the night before and just see how we do things? Of course, nobody told the weatherman that I was coming. His name was Vance McBride. And I literally showed up and said, I'm supposed to shadow you tonight, Vance. He goes, nobody told me this. He goes, what are you doing?
Boy.
I mean, do you even know your 50 states? He said to me.
Ooh.
I said, actually, I do.
This is starting well.
I know. I said, I teach fourth grade. I even know my capital. So.
That's funny.
So he was just mortified because they were probably just throwing anybody with a pulse in on to do weekend weather.
So he was not too welcoming.
He wasn't too welcoming. And it was totally like a scene out of Anchorman from back in the day. There were no women. There were three men there. And I sat in the studio and watched them do their broadcast. And I was, you know, really fascinated. And at the end, I said, guys, thank you for letting me watch. You are really magnificent at what you do. And the guy who was the main anchor said, we know. I was like, ooh, okay.
Was it Will Ferrell?
No, but he was totally patterned after guys like that from the 60s and 70s that really ruled in local news. There were no women. So I went the next day and did this audition for the job, and I was a nervous wreck. And I don't even think I did a good job, but, you know, I tried to watch what Vance had done and, you know, made a bunch of mistakes. But they said that actually was pretty good. But I didn't get the job because Joe accepted a position in Omaha and we left.
Okay.
But they did end up casting an actress to do the weather, and she didn't last very long.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm impressed that you didn't let that scare you away from the business and from doing weather, because then eventually.
Right. I thought, well, gosh, this is so much easier than correcting papers is what I thought at the time, because I was still teaching in Erie. And so we go to Omaha. I wander off, do a couple other jobs. I do the seventh grade teaching, but I'm still doing acting and commercials. Mm-hmm. And then when we get to Richmond, I said, I'm not sure I want to keep up with the teaching. Maybe I'll see if television is a path for me. So I, again, didn't push it very much, but dropped off these commercials. The guy calls me almost immediately, and he says, you wrote at the bottom of your letter that you have interest in doing the weather and that you've auditioned for weather before. And I said, that's right. He goes, where's that tape? I said, I don't have one. That happened a long time ago in my hometown of Erie, Pennsylvania. I said, but I'll come in and do one for you. And he goes, all right, let's set that up. And I knew what the drill would be, that I would be doing the weather that the guy did the night before.
Sure.
So I ran a VCR tape on that guy, and I memorized that thing like the good actress I am.
There you go.
And I went in and nailed this audition.
Wow.
And he says, hey, you did a pretty good job there. You know, we're strongly considering you. And within a few weeks, I was on the air. And I was in shock at that point, Joe, because then I realized, what have I done here? I'm not qualified to do this. Mm-hmm. And the night that I was going to debut at this station in Richmond, which was a Sunday night, they hired me for weekends, I was a mess. I really literally went into the restroom and said, please, God, don't let me get sick on the air. I don't know why I've done this. I will be so good if you get me through this. Wow. I will never smoke again, which, you know, I didn't smoke very much anyway, but just get me through tonight. Please, please, please. I just literally prayed for help to get through it. And so we go into the studio. I had put everything I was going to say on teleprompter.
Mm-hmm.
And the young lady who was the anchor that night, I assumed she would welcome me, and she didn't. She just said, is this Indian summer or what? And I said, why, thank you, Sandy. I'm so glad to be here. And then off to the races with my little script that I had typed into the teleprompter. Bottom line, I worked out a lot of the kinks there and eventually decided, hey, you know, this is kind of fun. But Joe got a job in Washington, D.C.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And
the plot thickens.
Yeah. And the station in Richmond said, we don't want you to go. We're prepared to make you the main person here. I'm like, I don't even know if I really want to do this. And also, I'm expecting a baby. And they're like, oh. So we go to D.C. I'm expecting a baby. Joe's working at WMAL. And Bob Ryan's
WML
doing,
Radio, right, mm-hmm. right?
Yep. He was a production manager and was doing an air shift on weekends. And this was his dream station. You know, all these Hardin and Weaver and
there was a dominant station,
Trumbull and
right?
Core
yeah.
and, oh, everybody. Bill Mayhew, John Lyon. Joe was overwhelmed and so happy mm-hmm. to be there. And he said, hey, Bob Ryan does the weather at WMAL. And apparently, if you want to send him your tape, he will give it a critique. And I said, okay. So I sent it to Bob, and he was very encouraging, and to this day, I'm so grateful to him for that. He goes, I think you can do it. I said, you think I'm good enough to work in D.C.? He goes, I do. He goes, do you want to keep doing weather? And I said, I don't know. He said, well, if you do want to keep going with weather, you should get certified, but if you're going to use this to move on to anchoring, you know, I think you can do it. So that
Spoiler alert, by the way, this really works out well, and Sue's doing it for 33 years, but go ahead.
So Bob also said to me, Channel 5 has a weekend opening right now. So I dropped the tape off at Channel 5, and I got a call pretty quickly, because now I have weather on my tape, mm-hmm. and a couple of good ones, which I had put together in Richmond, Virginia, and a guy by the name of Dan Cohen,
mm-hmm.
who still lives in Montgomery County.
He does? I didn't know that.
I think he does.
Okay.
He called me. He goes, hey, we loved your tape, but we had to call in a lip reader because there's no audio on it.
Oh,
I'm like, ooh,
okay.
Yikes. I said, this is what happens when I edit my own stuff. So he says, why don't you just come in?
Anybody can do it with audio,
right.
Sue.
So I came in, I brought him another tape, and I did an audition for them. But, you know, I was also expecting the baby.
Right.
So I bought this big double-breasted jacket to try to hide the fact that I was expecting a baby.
How'd that work out?
You know, only one person caught it. But
really?
At the end of the audition, Dan had me in the office, and he said, hey, I think you did a great job. I'm really surprised and, you know, happy that you're in this area and you're willing to work weekends. I said, I also have to tell you that I am expecting a baby. And if you don't want to hire me while I'm pregnant, I get it. But he was shocked. He goes, it's not going to be my decision. It's going to be Betty Endicott's decision, who was our news director, soon to be general manager.
And a legend in the business.
A legend.
Town.
And she said, are you kidding me? People will love this. She goes, you're going to get baby gifts. And I did. So they hired me. And, you know, I'm obviously getting bigger every week. I remember Paul Farnsworth, one of the guys we worked with.
Sports producers, yeah.
They were so worried that I might go into labor at work.
Oh, my gosh.
And one night I had some difficulty because we used to change the maps by stepping on a strip on the mm-hmm. floor. And I didn't realize it, but the strip had been broken because a camera had rolled over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't change the map. And so I was stuck on the same map.
My hands are sweating right now, even though I know this
ends well. It was awful.
So,
well, I was sweating. And it appeared to the viewers that I was struggling with something, and they thought I had gone into labor, and the phones rang off the hook. And I said, no, here's what really happened. You know, they actually, James said, we need to explain to the viewers what just happened here because the phones are ringing mm-hmm. like crazy in the studio. And the other thing that happened was people said, don't fire her.
Oh, my God.
So I was really shocked by that.
Yeah.
That people, again, related to
mm-hmm. absolutely
the fact that I was in discomfort. And then they enjoyed seeing the baby. So they did research shortly after that at the station. I'm still doing weekend weather. And I think I must have done well in the research because somebody who was in on the research said, we enjoyed hearing about the viewers watching you. And one guy even said, we enjoyed watching Sue get pregnant. I'm like, ooh.
We're talking to Sue Palka, multiple Emmy winner. Are we up to six? How many?
Yes, six.
Six-time Emmy winner.
Yes.
Fox 5.
Thank you.
Weather forecaster, a legend in the business, and a good friend.
Joe's my agent, everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I want to ask you a couple of questions about doing this for over 30 years. What has been the biggest change? Is it technology? Is it something else? What is the biggest change if you had to pick one thing in your job?
Okay. I know exactly what that is, and I'm thankful for it all the time, and that is internet.
Ah.
Because I can see so many computer models at my fingertips. It has really, really helped, Joe. You know, it used to be that I've been in the business long enough that I use a magnet board as well as I drew my own weather maps.
Wow.
And so the computerization, the internet delivery of the weather models, I just feel has helped so much with accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that has changed is that we're doing a lot of news at my station. When I started, I only had news at 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'd work a long day, but
right.
We only did that one newscast.
How many do you do now?
Well, we are doing news. We're soon to start 4 o'clock news.
I heard about that.
But we go 5 to 7 right now. Then we do another live program, 7 to 7:30, called Like It or Not.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing live news on Channel 20, which is called Fox 5 Plus now.
Wow.
And that's live at 8 as well as 9. And then we are on for 90 minutes from 10 to 11:30.
Sounds nonstop to
me. It's pretty nonstop. Yeah, it's a lot.
Wow.
So that's another change, is there's a tremendous amount of news that we're mm-hmm. doing on a daily basis.
And don't forget about social media.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Social media. Yes.
Are you the queen of social media?
I would say I'm not. I like Twitter very much. Of mm-hmm. the three, it's my favorite. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. But I like Twitter because it's very helpful in delivering weather information fast and receiving information fast.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them, I really don't care about Instagram as much because I'm not so interested in what you're eating, which people tend to do that.
They do that.
So I force myself to try to get stuff on Instagram, but it is the least appealing, probably because I've aged out of it. It seems to be for younger people. And Facebook, I try to get at least, I get a lot of feedback from Facebook, but it requires a lot more interaction. Where Twitter, I enjoy, especially during severe weather, to get my information mm-hmm. out and also to receive what's going on elsewhere.
Weather in this area has not been boring to you, I'm sure, in the last few months.
No.
I mean, just today, you got a windy day. Yesterday, there were tornado warnings.
There were warnings. Nothing verified,
right.
Thank God.
But record rains last year. I mean,
there's a
things
lot.
Are changing.
Things are changing, and I am, you know, somebody who believes that climate change is a big part of that, and it's concerning. Everything that Al Gore talked about in the 90s, I was privileged in 1997 to go to the White House because they were doing some outreach via Al Gore and President Clinton at the time mm-hmm. about global warming, which is not a term I use. I like to use climate change because
mm-hmm.
I feel like global warming has misled people.
And it's too politicized.
It's too politicized. And then people think they think it's only about warming.
Climate change
is about extremes.
Including an important person that lives in town. We won't talk about
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
Ahead.
Oh, and including, you know, people say all the time, so much for global warming when it's snowing
exactly.
in Chicago in
exactly.
April.
That's misguided.
Yeah, it just seems like everything is stronger.
Yes.
Everything is more extreme. Extreme rain, extreme drought. You know, when it was snowing last week in the northern plains where you saw Minnesota get 9 inches of snow, did you know the snow was brown? And that was because dust from Texas and New Mexico got caught up into that same system. And so they had a little, it was either light brown, orange, or a little bit of yellow in the snow that people were freaked out about. It's like, these storms are crazy.
Amazing. So you're not bored, right? This is not California where it's 80 and sunny every day, although California is not that anymore either.
Right.
So do you enjoy the fact that the weather is changing? Is it more challenging? Is that a good thing
for you? I would say that I'm personally alarmed at it.
Right.
And it does make for, I will say this, on days when the weather is active, the day goes really fast for me now.
Mm-hmm.
And when the weather is sunny and quiet, it's hard to fill all these hours of news with the same thing over and over.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it a little bit challenging. So some days I'm excited for a rainy day or a storm tracking day,
mm-hmm.
but it can be a lot too. It can be quite exhausting and draining because yes, we do have a lot of social media obligations on those days too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a handful.
All right, lots more to talk about with Sue Palka, including one aspect of the weather yesterday. We're going to talk about how Tiger Woods and bad weather got me really fired up yesterday and still today. That and much more on Moco's Most Famous on MyMC Media after a brief break.
MCM, your community media center, is making Montgomery County a great place to live through programs like 21 This Week. Montgomery County's hardest-hitting political talk show keeps you up to date with the local political scene. Montgomery Community Media. Our middle name is Community.
Community. Welcome back to Moco's Most Famous on MyMC Media. I am Joe Yashroff. Our very special in-studio guest is Fox 5 Sue Palka, the longest-running weather forecaster in town. We were talking about bad weather yesterday. So I'm watching the Masters like a lot of people. I'm a golf fanatic. It was on earlier yesterday. The Augusta National made the smart decision to move things back because they knew bad weather was coming in. So now Tiger wins. It is one of the most unbelievable comeback stories of all time. CBS decides to rerun the Masters, which was really smart. I don't know if that had been decided ahead of time, but whatever, they rerun it. During the rebroadcast, Channel 9 breaks in with Tornado Watch, and then it became a warning, I believe.
Right.
And you'll correct me if I'm wrong.
It was a warning.
Topper Shut did that. And people complained, called names, and I cannot believe that people are so short-sighted to think that a replay of a golf tournament is more important than potentially saving lives or keeping people safe.
Right.
Were you as mad as I was?
We're used to it, and I feel bad that that happened to Topper. He made the right decision. He made the only decision he can make.
Absolutely.
Because we have FCC requirements, and one of those is to inform the public, and a tornado warning is pretty much standard procedure. You break in, mm-hmm. and you stay on the whole time. And every time we do that, those people that are not in the affected area go crazy. They call names. They send you terrible things on social media. I think you guys even know that there have been death threats.
Yes.
And, you know,
it's unbelievable.
It is what it is. And you almost have to not look because it's going to be bad. But I think Topper made the right decision.
Absolutely.
But what I also think we could do better is maybe, and there probably wasn't any time for this yesterday, big screen, little screen.
Yes.
Put the tornado warning in the big screen,
box
it.
Yep.
We've got it. We should be able to do that.
Right.
I hate to mix up the message that way, but that is, you know, this has happened before. I think last year there was another station that cut in right when somebody was making a final putt on a live golf broadcast, and that person got torn apart on social media too.
I mean, you can also do just a crawl, but I mean, if it's a tornado watch and you think, you know, you're trying to keep people safe, to me, safety comes first, and if
Absolutely.
You can't do the double box for whatever reason,
you still have to do it.
What you got to do.
And
this was a rebroadcast.
Right.
We saw Tiger win.
Everyone
knew
who
Tiger
won.
So it's ridiculous. I was really fired up. And I'm the biggest sports fan, as you know, worked in sports all my life, big Tiger fan, big golf fan. But yet I think it doesn't take a genius to figure out what's more important.
Exactly. And unfortunately, this is the world we live in, and everybody slams everybody else on social media. You have to.
Yeah.
We just have to get a tough skin about it, because that's not going to change. The tornado warning will require somebody to break into programming. You know, whether it's Judge Judy at our station, people always go crazy. This has been going on for years, except you really hear about it now.
Yes.
Because it's not just phone calls.
Right.
It's Twitter. It's every social media platform available goes on the attack.
Someone we work with, Diane Roberts, was talking about how they were taking tons of phone calls just like in the old days. So they were taking phone calls and getting all these social media
posts.
Well,
I remember, I have a lot of respect for Topper. He's an excellent forecaster, and he broke into 60 Minutes back in the day for the La Plata tornado, and he saved lives. So
there you go. Enough said.
He has to do it. And I hope that he can shake this off and not take it personally. He did the right thing, and I have a lot of respect for Topper.
Did the right thing, and thank you, Topper Shut, for doing that and for looking out for us.
Also a good Montgomery County resident.
There you go. All you weather folks hang out in Montgomery. Doug Cameron also, who we've had on the podcast.
Oh, he's
very
so great,
nice guy.
Too.
He is.
We have a lot of fantastic people in this town.
Mm-hmm.
I really love this market for weather. You have a lot of good options, lots of different personalities, but really solid forecasters all the way around.
How much of it is competition? How much of it is camaraderie, fraternity, sorority? How much would you say?
You know, I think there is competition. It used to be that we saw more of each other, but all of us are doing so many newscasts now that there isn't time, really, at least at my shop. I don't have time to go catch a bite to eat. I mean, if I'm lucky, I can run across the street to Rodman's, but so we don't see each other. Back in the day, we might have gone out for a glass of wine after a show, but we don't do that either because we've got too much to do the next day. Nobody wants to have a drink and drive and go home. So that's kind of gone away, too. But I do think there's good competition. We get together a couple times a year out at the National Weather Service to talk with our colleagues at the National Weather Service. How can we continue to deliver the message? you know, and have better products available, help people understand storm warnings better. Like you even said a minute ago, I don't know if he was on with a watch or a warning. We still have education to do in that department because people don't know the difference.
Can you explain right now? Let's take a couple minutes. It's a podcast. We don't have a 3-minute weathercast, so we have time.
Right. So, you know, the difference between a watch and a warning, a watch is potential. So everyone always says, which is worse, a watch or a warning?
Right.
The warning is technically worse in that it's either been the signature for a tornado has been spotted on radar, in other words, rotation, or somebody has actually seen one. And the warnings go out even when the signature is there so that you have time to get ready. So there were a lot of spinning storms yesterday. I don't believe anything touched down here, but there was a history because there had been such a bad outbreak the day before, which was why there was so much heightened awareness here locally for the watch. But I'm sure that most people crawled the watch. That's the little message that goes along the bottom of your screen, but cut in for the warnings.
What do you miss most about the old days of TV? You know, once you get to past 40, 50 years old, you know, we all talk about the good old days.
Right.
And Channel 5 had its team and Channel 4, and everybody kind of knew everyone that was on TV, and it's different now. So
yes.
Was it better in the old days, or is it just different today? Is it better in a different way?
I think it is different.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the huge amount of news we're doing is what is the big change.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's not just Channel 5 doing a lot more news. Everybody's doing a lot more news. And, you know, it becomes a little bit, what's the word I want to use here? Challenging to continue to fill the content.
Yes.
With different ways. So
right.
You're not just doing the same 30 minutes over and over
sure.
and over. And so I think we're much more focused on what is our content and what are we, you know, bringing to the viewer and not thinking so much about other stations and what they're doing. I mean, I don't have time to watch anybody else, and I'm sure no one else does either. I can see social media from time to time
right.
and see what other people are doing, but it's so content-oriented that I stay very focused on that.
When there's a big weather event, is that exciting? Does that get the adrenaline going? Is that like your Super Bowl?
Yes. I would say that is still very exciting and really prefer snowstorms to anything else. I don't enjoy severe weather as much because it's so last minute and you don't have a chance to really gear up. But for either hurricanes or snowstorms where you have a little time to see these things coming and get ready, that I think has been somewhat exciting over the past few years, especially when we start going what we call wall to wall in television, where the only thing running is commercial breaks and news. And for me, the anxiety is all in the forecast and the joy is when it actually starts.
Yeah.
And especially if it's accurate. And I think we had a really good winter this year in terms of our predictions for total snow as well as each individual snowstorm. I think it's not that the forecasters are getting better. It's that the algorithms are improving for these computer models. And it's pretty amazing, especially for me in looking at the whole picture from my beginning, you know, in the early 80s, because I started in Richmond, 83, to where we are now. I'm gobsmacked by how accurate some of these computer models are.
By the way, first time the word gobsmacked has ever been used on the show. You remember the old show with, Groucho Marx?
Oh, right, yes.
Little duck would fall
right,
down.
Right,
Joe
funny.
Palka can tell you about
yes,
it.
Yes, oh, I remember seeing it too.
So the two weather events that came to mind when you were talking about it. So I was at Channel 5 in the late 80s. I think it was 88. I thought it was a tornado, but you corrected me. It was a downburst,
I believe, right.
Where trees were uprooted. And I remember I went around
Day
Channel
storm.
5 and took pictures and helped with the coverage.
Do you know, Joe, I was thinking about that when I drove over here.
Really?
And
88, right?
Yep. And Joe Seda was our news director.
Yes.
And Angie Robinson was our anchor. And I was remembering, because then we only had news at 10, and that storm hit around 4.
Right.
So I wasn't even at work yet, and I could not get into work. And
oh, wow.
I didn't have a cell phone.
So I might have been covering weather before even you got in that day.
And I remember getting a snake eye when I came in, but it's like, guys, I've been trying to come in.
Wow.
I don't think I arrived at the station until 7. Now, we didn't have news until 10, but
that's right.
Certainly they were doing cut-ins then.
Yeah.
But that was a shocking development.
Yeah.
And that type of thing doesn't happen anymore because we see them coming now.
I see.
But there were still the blizzard of 87 was another one where we got a little bit caught. Because the information wasn't there for us to see the storm is really going to blow up over us. We don't get caught like that anymore. But that was the Flag Day storm, and that was terrible. It was a microburst, trees down everywhere. Oh, it took forever to clean up.
All these
and it was right centered over Northwest Washington and just horrible.
Microburst, not downburst.
Right.
Did I say downburst?
But this is the same thing.
Oh, same thing. Okay.
Yep, same thing.
The other one was, speaking of Tiger, I was at Comcast SportsNet, which is now NBC Sports Washington. This was maybe 2000. Well, you'll know when I say the word derecho,
oh,
word
yeah.
that no one had ever heard of.
Right.
So we had a set a television set at the pool at Congressional Country Club for our live coverage. And this was a Friday night. And I got a tip from somebody that we got 70-mile-an-hour winds coming into town. You better go do something. We were set. I didn't even have time.
Right.
We go the next day, and it looked like it was
unbelievable.
Things flying all over
the
place.
That was shocking. And do you remember the temperature that day?
I do not.
I think it was 104.
The next day?
No, the day the derecho hit.
Oh, so
and
that's
And so
what,
Joe and I were in New York celebrating our anniversary, and we had gone – forget the name of the show. I remember everything about the derecho, but we were driving home that night, and here's where your cell phone is really handy. I could see coming down 95, tremendous lightning, and I said, whoa, let's check what's going on. And I started reading statements, and one of the things the National Weather Service will put out is a PDS, mm-hmm. Particularly Dangerous Situation. And you never see those. And they had put out a PDS, yeah. And I was like getting goosebumps. I'm like, oh my goodness. This is terrible. There's a squall line coming in. At that mm-hmm. point, it was still, you know, in Pittsburgh, I think, mm-hmm. when I was reading this discussion. And we're driving home, and I'm saying to Joe, faster, 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 we got to get home. And he goes, what, this, we're going to be okay. I'm like, we're not going to be okay. We're going to lose power.
Yeah.
He goes, well, I want to stop and get ice cream.
So calm down, Joe.
He goes to Safeway and gets ice cream, and I'm like announcing doing the weather for everybody. I'm like, everyone, you have like 20 minutes to get home.
Run
everybody go,
lives.
Go, go. And I'm texting my daughters who were downtown. Nora was in a show. It's called Spring Awakening at what theater was it? Well, Keegan Theater.
Okay.
So I'm like, girls, stay in place. Stay there until this thing passes through. We get home. I do everything I need to do before we are going to lose electricity. I was sure we would mm-hmm. lose electricity. Joe turns on the Nats game. And I think he just saw like 1 second of it before, boom, the power went out.
Wow.
I had the candles ready, had everything ready to go. We lost power through the night, but I still had my phone. It had been charged. And that was because the National Weather Service did a fantastic job mm-hmm. of announcing this is a particularly dangerous situation.
Yeah.
If you ever see that issued, you know you've got to take it seriously.
Well, I got the tip because golf courses have to know about the weather, and especially during a tournament. So somebody got a tip there, and I got a call again at home at night that something's coming through West Virginia, and it's coming fast, coming hard. And I remember very well the next day, besides seeing our set being all destroyed, it was the weirdest sporting event I've ever covered because if you recall that Saturday round of the Tiger Woods tournament, which was called the AT&T National at the time, I think,
mm-hmm.
there were no fans allowed.
Oh,
so it
right.
was just, it was a regular round of golf with no fans. It was weird.
Oh, my goodness.
Very, very strange.
Because it was too dangerous?
It was too dangerous, so they didn't want anybody there, so we still covered
right.
it, but no fans. I mean, you could hear Tiger Woods talking to his partner on the tee. Every word they were saying, it was odd.
Fascinating.
Yes, it was.
I bet Tiger liked it.
Yes, I think he did. I think he did. Didn't have to deal with all the masses of people
yeah.
that always come when he plays.
I noticed yesterday when he was taking his walk, you know, at his victory walk,
yes.
He doesn't hit the hands.
Sometimes he does, but I think this one was maybe so emotional, and I think there was a lot of stuff going through
yeah.
his mind, and he had the kids and his girlfriend, and that was something.
Yeah, it was fun to see. I even watched.
Well, that tells you the power of Tiger right there.
Right.
How do you tell people, how do you explain to people that when you're prognosticating, predicting, whatever word you want to use, you're not always going to be exactly right, you're not always going to be right. People sometimes take it personally and they blame weather folks for
right.
for being wrong or slightly
you know,
wrong.
Joe, that has really gotten a lot better in
has
the past
it?
Few years, surprisingly. I don't know if it's because people don't know where they got their information from
mm-hmm.
because there's so much mm-hmm. information out that they don't know who to blame. But you really get the hate when you do these cut-ins. and even the crawls get hate.
Yeah.
But I think it's a combination of two things. I think we've really improved in the 24-hour range.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's rarely wrong. You might be wrong by a few degrees on the temperature, or maybe the clouds stayed in place a little bit longer. But when it comes to timing things out, I think it's remarkably improved. And I think the viewers have noticed that.
Good.
And or they just don't know where they got their information from.
I wasn't sure because with Twitter, because it's such a cesspool of anger and hate that I thought maybe it would have gotten worse. But I'm glad to see.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that you're saying it's better now.
One thing I do not like mm-hmm. in my business is a tendency to push weather forecasters to go into fear casting mode. I am not a fan of that. I cannot do it because I don't think you need to be afraid. There are very few instances when, like, the derecho was a time to be afraid.
Yes.
And I don't escalate my words until I have to. I
right.
want people to be able to trust me. But there is a push sometimes for us to do that. But it's short-term gain. Maybe you get a few eyeballs, and then they're like, oh, that wasn't that bad.
Right.
Yeah.
But yesterday, I guess, was sort of the gray area, would you say? Anything with a tornado is so unpredictable. So would you consider that the gray area there?
I would say that was a gray area, and you had to be safe, not sorry. And
yes.
So you heard a lot of people, you know, picking up the pace on that. Honestly, I wasn't sure that it would be a big tornado day for us. And I thought maybe we were going a little too far in that direction. But given what it had done in the south, you have to pay attention. But also this time of year, sometimes the models are transitioning from a winter to a spring model, mm-hmm. and they can underdo or overdo some things.
All right, a couple more things, and then we're going to wrap up. So a piece of trivia about Supalka. You had a small part in a movie that was, I think, 30 years ago called The War of the Roses.
War of the Roses.
Who was in the movie?
So that was...
Who were your co-stars, shall I say?
Oh, my gosh. And this is terrible. It was Kathleen Turner.
Right.
And I always remember Kathleen, but who...
And I've forgotten, too. It wasn't Alec Baldwin.
It wasn't Michael Douglas. Oh, my gosh.
I think it was. It was Michael Douglas. Absolutely.
So, and here's how that came about, Joe. And you remember I had done some commercials.
Yes.
And videos. So I had already joined the Screen Actors Guild in addition mm-hmm. to AFTRA before they were one union.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came to me, and I think it was Mark Portner, and he said, hey, Fox wants to know, this is a 21st Century Fox movie, they want to do a little clip of somebody doing the weather, we'd like it to be you, and, you know, they'll give you $100. I said, I'm a member of SAG, I believe that's $400.
Nice, you don't need an agent.
I know.
Yeah.
And I said, if I have a line, I'm more than just a day player, you know, I become a day player. And so they agreed. And so I got $400 to just basically do the weather. And I even changed the script a little bit.
Did you?
Because their wording was wrong for what a real weather forecaster would say. So my scene is Kathleen Turner in her bedroom watching the 10 o'clock news. And you hear Morris a little bit, Morris Jones, who was one of our anchors at the time. But you saw me. And you wouldn't believe it. I'm still getting residual checks.
I was going to ask.
They won't even get you a small Starbucks.
But they still put a stamp on it, and
I get a $2 or $3 check every once in a while. And I made a few thousand off that. It was exciting, in residuals.
Will we see you in movies? Are you going into movies after?
I'll tell you who's going to be in a movie.
Who's that?
Is Mr. Joe Palca. He got in that Wonder Woman movie that they did here.
Really?
And he got a part.
Really?
So he did really well, too. And he cannot wait for that to come out, but they keep pushing it back.
Is it Gal Gadot in the second one,
yes,
too?
And he saw her sitting there, and you know, it made his life.
I would think. You know, I don't blame
it. It was a
guy.
Real highlight, and he had a great experience. So
really?
He's going to have to take over the movie situation. But thanks to Netflix and Hulu and other things, War of the Roses has had an extended life.
That's
and
awesome.
Every once in a while, I still get that little check from them.
So I can't wait for Joe Palca starring in Wonder Woman, also featuring Gal Gadot.
Yes.
So I think that's going to be great.
That will be exactly how he'll be putting it out.
I left the best subject for last. You are a grandmother, which is amazing.
I am. It's the best.
Why is it the best?
Everyone told me being a grandmother is better than being a parent, and they were right. And I think it's because it's all joy and no fear.
You can give the kids back at the end of the day, right?
And the time I have with her is 100% focused on her, mm-hmm. and I'm not worried about her bath or her next meal. I mean, I'll do all of that, but it's just all about joy. And Liz and Mike are wonderful parents, and so I don't have any fear there. So I just kind of parachute in and love up this little Anastasia, who is just absolutely the most joyful little girl, and probably one of the best things that's ever happened to me in my life.
That is awesome.
In addition to being a mother myself, it has really brought me full circle, because when I started, I was expecting Liz.
Mm-hmm.
And Liz has been doing a little freelance at Channel 9.
That's amazing.
I'm not sure if she's going to, you know, be going forward mm-hmm. through the...
Tell her not to break into golf coverage.
Right.
Give her some advice on Channel 9.
I know, if she doesn't want to get the hate.
Yes.
But it's been a wonderful full circle for me.
That is
being
awesome.
A grandmother. I love it.
This is not on TV, but I can see the pride and the joy in your face.
I can't go a week without seeing her. And we FaceTime with her, too. But yesterday, I inserted myself down there. My daughter was out of town, and I knew my son-in-law was babysitting a lot, and he was trying to watch Tiger, and baby wanted to watch cartoons. So I said, can I come down? And so I got to spend some time with her, and she's just so wonderful.
That is great.
It just makes my life.
Thank you for sharing that with us. Thank you for asking. Absolutely. That is the great Supalka. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule with all
the
shows that you do. I'm not taking it for granted that you gave us some time today.
Well, it's fun to reminisce with you, Joe, and you and I have so many stories, too. I won't tell anyone your nicknames from Fox 5 back
please
in the
don't.
Day.
My wife and mom are listening, so please don't. So you can see Sue, of course, on Fox 5 on the 4 o'clock, the 5 o'clock, the 6 o'clock, the 7 o'clock, the 10 o'clock, on social media, everywhere. Thank you again, Sue. That'll do it for this edition of MoCo's Most Famous. I'm Joe Yashroff. Thank you to engineer Mike Valentine and our resident weather guru, Carolyn Raskauskas. And thanks to you for listening. And that's mom and my wife. And any other
Joe Palka,
my three listeners. And we'll see you next time, or hear you next time.